tonight, I want to start reading 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. You get in as much as you feel led to. I just want to read the third verse of this chapter, and it says, "Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." And I was praying before God, and I'm thinking, God, I know that we're supposed to be tested. I know that. It's something now that I'm beginning to realize that it's something that's got to be incorporated in our lives. And some things that God has put on my heart is, the best I know how to say it is, there's a lot of things that we can have in church. We can have our praise and worship. And we can have somebody stand here as I am now and read to you and speak to you. And we can have people get up at appointed times and talk about how good that God is. And we can take up tithes and offerings. And we can, I guess, more or less go through things that we have always known to be in church. And one could classify that as a religious order or activity or something that we set aside to do before God. And how many times have we came and felt like that we weren't successful in those things? Felt like that when we got to that moment in time when we tried to press in, that we didn't get to where we felt like that we were wanting to be. Like there was some kind of wall or resistance or something standing in the way. And I feel that sometimes even in my own personal life. I feel that. I feel that separation between when I could be singing a song versus really singing what God wants to get out there. Or getting up and standing before you and just preaching what I know would probably stir your heart versus preaching the Word of God that's just inside just about to just burst out of me. And what's bursting out of my heart tonight is that we can't have religion. We can't know anything in our own lives without having that spiritual fulfillment and relationship with the Holy Ghost. And we can't even begin to call out for Jesus Christ and know that that is something that is affirmed and confirmed and something that we go and come with in our heart without the presence of God living and dwelling inside of us. How many times have we been able to try to talk about the Lord even on the phone or be able to talk about the goodness of God, and yet without that fulfillment of the Spirit behind it, it kind of just fades. The conversation fades. Or when you try to encourage somebody and you don't have that behind you to back what you're saying, it kind of fades. Or they don't receive that you're saying, because in your heart it's not that driving force. It's not the very center of your life. And what I'm here to tell us tonight is that we could avoid a lot of things if we would incorporate that spiritual part of us in our life. Amen. Even in getting down in everyday prayer, even in just everyday conversation, there are so many victories that I see that I lose because I'm not wielding the power of the Holy Ghost in more than just the gifts. You can read on in that chapter and read about all the gifts and how they're distributed and how that each and every one of us probably have an inheritance of that gift in some way. And that's wonderful. And praise God for that. But you know, we never hardly ever get to those gifts half the time. We don't even get to experience the joy or the fullness of praises of that because we don't win the small battles in between point A and point B. We get the inheritance of the Holy Ghost. We have the power of God within us. We know that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and yet we still lose battles every day. We still are defeated every day. We still let things ruin our life that God had intended for us to be victors over. Amen. In my heart, if I'm not before God in the place that I should be, if my heart isn't right, if I'm not settled in my spirit to where I should be, I could come in and perform 100 acts of obedience. I could come in and turn all the wheels that would make church look like church, but it's not going to be church to somebody that needs it. It's not going to be something that'll fulfill anybody. And listen, God's trying to perform works each and every time that we come in here. God is trying to do something even this night. But there are some things that we've got to address inside of our life. And one of those things is that we have got to come into the presence of God with a boldness and a zeal like we've never had. If you feel tired, you might as well expect that to be with you probably all the days of your life. You might feel like that you're waiting for a day where you're going to come in with an energy and a light about you that you're going to be hopping and skipping all the way to the front of the pulpit. But sometimes before I begin to preach, I feel so tired that I could probably just lay down behind it and go to sleep. That's the part of us that resists the Spirit of God. But I can't even go through religion without the Holy Ghost. I can't go through the motions of what religion is. I can't go through that without the Holy Ghost. It's too important of a substance in your life to fulfill you, to not incorporate that in your life. My heart soars every time I get in the presence of God. There's not been one time that God has passed by that it's not blessed me. And I wonder, God, why would I not get a hold of that every day of my life? But there's just way too much other stuff standing in our way. I would like to read this other part to you as God is quickly leading me to this. Book of Luke chapter 22 and verse 15. He said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. It stirs my heart when I read it. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. I read about this, and I know that we're getting, I guess, around the corner for our Easter holidays, but God led me here for another reason. Now I read about that, and you read about that in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, and you go on down there, and even after the distribution of the gifts, and it talks about how the body is formed, and how that all of those parts are necessary for one another, and how it's so important that all of those come together as one. And God was beginning to just put something in my heart and revealing unto me that how that He wants us to come together as one body. So that when this one body is unified and is all working according to the order of God that would be ordained in this place, that the Spirit of God would begin to dwell within that body as He does within this body. And as He begins to dwell within this body, the gifts and callings of God that even work in our life will begin to dwell within the place that we dwell here. And how often that we cut off one thing and cut off another thing, but yet God's trying to put all these things together, all through the Spirit of God, how He's trying to mend us each and every day. But we cannot have religion without the Holy Ghost. I can't go through my everyday business without incorporating God. It reads in another part that says that it would be better to obey God and not man. There's something about not going through the motions all week long without seeking God for your substance, seeking God for that which builds up in your life. God wants to give you a boldness. God wants to raise you up to do great things. We often want to pass it off on something or somebody, but God is wanting to do a work in you. Hallelujah. Somebody receive that tonight. It's for you. God wants to do a work in you. He's wanting to build you up. But just as much as I'm preaching here tonight, I'm looking for the arms and the legs to begin to come to form. I am beginning to come to expectations to see the body of Christ begin to come together. You read about that in the Passover. He wanted them to partake of that because He wanted them to partake of Him, wanted them to partake of His suffering. I read about that and it stirs me to no end. It reminds me that there was suffering in what He gave. There's suffering in the body of Christ. But guys, it is worth it. It's worth the suffering to get to the comfort. It's worth the going down and getting down and agonizing before God just to be able to have a little peace. Why would I go through 6 and 7 days of no sleep before I get down and seek God? I don't know. You tell me. Oftentimes it's our flesh that comes against. We cannot go through secular things without seeking God. We cannot go through church without the Holy Ghost. We got to partake of Jesus Christ. We can't even be Christians without Christ. We can't have crowns. So that which we consume in our life is going to build up the body. That cup of salvation that we drink of is going to build up our body. But listen, we've got to drink of that. We've got to fulfill ourselves in that. We've got to get up in the morning and not neglect the fact that we are delivered, saved, born again, victorious children of God. Come on, somebody. How many times do we get up already defeated? We already think there's no hope for life. We already think that there's going to be nothing accomplished in what we're going to do. Sometimes we speak so much doubt, it makes us begin to wonder if we even had anything to start with. And God has to go through so much just to get us to a place where we can just feel His presence, not only just to be built up, but just to feel it. Doesn't want us just coming in here and spinning our wheels in the mud, but wants us to partake of His salvation. Wants us to believe in that. Wants us to get it in the center of our being. Wants us to eat the bread of life. Wants us to take it in for all that it's worth. What we get up with at the start of the day. What you put in yourself as you go through your motions. Listen, you're not going 24 hours just breathing and doing nothing. There is a present time and an opportunity to come into the presence of God. The devil would have you to be silent. He would have you to give up. He would have you to let go and to quit and to just lay it all down. He would have you to do that. And how many people have we seen be caught up in the very things that we preach on and are out there now that know the truth and flee from it? When are we going to stand up not only for ourselves, but for them, and let them see that we partake of that every day? You see, the motions for me are just not enough anymore. It's just not going to cut it for me anymore. I realized the other day that God has drawn me into such a place where a song is not going to sometimes be enough. And even the words that I'm preaching to you now, I know it's going to some, and maybe not everybody. But even preaching is not going to be enough sometimes. But it's when we get down in our heart and get down before God and use that which He's put in us. He's wanting us to set all of this in order. He's wanting us to get ourselves together. He don't want us walking around scattered. Doesn't want us feeling like that we don't have direction. God has laid out in more ways than one the direction that He wants us to go. And He's laid out guidelines. And Lord, have mercy. If I read any more in depth of the Old Testament, I'm going to be so afraid with the fear of God, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. How many times you see the wrath of God come simply because that they either raised themselves up or raised other things up. They put their faith in other things. And I thank God we're right in that time. Lord, we're raising everything up about You and being so shameless about the way that we live, the way we conduct ourselves, everything that we do. There was kings that were struck down just because, there was one that walked into the Holy of Holies and tried to send up his own incense offering because he had did everything that God told him to do. He felt that rising up, that exalted power within him, and the priest went in alarm and said, "Don't go in here. You're not supposed to be here. Not supposed to be offering that up." And how that God sends us words like that to try to warn us, and we'll just toss that out of the way. We'll throw that to the side. You might not even be hearing me tonight, but God's trying to say, don't go through the motions and waste your time at church without having some substance of the Spirit of God. He wants you not to get yourself raised up out in this world so that you have a hard down. Paul, this person was immediately struck with leprosy, and he was not buried with all of the other kings of that day. He was buried separate from them, and he was known as the man that was called, "This is the leper." God, I'm tired of coming short. Lord, I want to get in. I feel the Holy Ghost. I want to get in to the substance of the fullness of Your presence. If that means I've got to shut my eyes, to get into the fullness of Your joy, then I'm going to mind You. Sometimes I wonder, When are we going to see the body come together? And maybe for some of us, and even I've been there. I've been in that boat. But get out of this boat tonight. We got to stop waiting for the entire body of Christ to come together before we're going to step out and be obedient, willing vessels to set an example for somebody else. There was only one of the disciples that stepped out that was called out to walk on the water. God is calling you to do a work. He's calling you to step out into the boldness of His Spirit. He's calling you to step out, to bring this into alignment. It's not always going to be the hand. Sometimes it might be the foot that kicks first. But praise God, when there's some life in something, it starts to move. I've seen things where it looked like it was dead and it began to move and shake, and you thought, Lord God, what was that? Walk up on something you thought was roadkill and it start moving, and you see, you get to move, and that's how the devil will begin to flee. If he ever saw the body of Christ come together, there was just one toe in here, church. Somebody help me. There was just one toe that would come to life in the Spirit of God. It wouldn't be just religion. It wouldn't be just singing, but it'd be singing in the Holy Ghost. It'd be preaching in the Holy Ghost. We wouldn't have to hear a word that you felt like was a waste. You'd feel substance in the word. You wouldn't feel like it was a waste of time. You'd receive it in your heart and know that it was the Word of God that was coming into your life. Woo! You'll have to forgive me, but I finally just let go. We are not to please man, but to please God. Even David, before his wife said, and I preached this before, he said, I'll do it all the more. What was he moving? He was moving the tabernacle of God, the very thing that was sacred in that time. Think about it. That one put everything in order. He set the Levites out and set them back as the people that were supposed to carry the ark. He put the Levites back in the temple as the ones that were supposed to manage the temple. He tore down every high thing of Baal, tore down every high altar, every altar of incense, tore down everything that was lifted up other than God. And yet in his heart, after all of that, he tried to walk into a place that he shouldn't have been, trying to walk outside of the will of God. And I think, God, I want to follow your will. I'd never want to be in the glory of God and not in his will. I'd never want the glory of God to come down and not be where he wants me to be. I'd rather be praising him. I'd rather be giving it up the way he wants me to. That Shekinah glory of God came down as a smoke, and that veil was still up. But when that veil dropped, when Christ came, we have a new way to partake of the glory of God. We can bring down that very smoke that we read about even in this place if we just get rid of those high things that would exalt themselves. And I don't have to call them out. We couldn't write it all on this wall of all the things that hinder us. You'd laugh at some of them, and some of them would appall you of how the devil's hindering God's people. You could write them down all on these walls, but it's not in how you're hindered. It's how you handle it. How you're hindered. It's what you do about it that gets you through it. It's not knowing that you are. It's knowing what to do when you are. Time to time and time and time and time, we're hindered and we're hindered and we're hindered, and we want to take the safe way out and just blame the church for not coming together. We just want to throw it up on somebody else for not being obedient. But God is wanting us to line up as a body. Hell, he called somebody to be a finger in here. Somebody hold up their finger. Somebody is the finger in this place. Woo! Somebody is the second finger. Somebody is the head. Somebody is the feet. Somebody's supposed to get this thing moving when the glory of God comes down. What a wonderful joy it is to be the feet of God, to get it moving, or to be the hand of God, to take authority. Oh, I feel that so much. I've been praying against the enemy every time that I pray, and the only thing that's holding back so many prayers, and the one that we read about more often than any demonic presence, is the lack of belief. It's the lack of belief. It's the simple lack of in our heart choosing to trust in God. Jesus even had to remove those that was around when he was trying to perform the miracle for Jairus' daughter. He had to send them out. There was too much unbelief to perform the miracle. There is a message there beyond mounds and mounds. You've seen it time and time again. If you linger, and it's not to say that it's a person or a group of persons, but when it gets to a certain point later in the service, when those that really want God and really want something from Him continue to stay and stay, and it'd be like 11:30, midnight. I've been in churches where it's lasted longer. The power of God begins to move stronger. It's ever so real. There was just a few when it moved for me. So what does that tell me? That there's something about locking in belief inside of your heart. There's something about partaking of that bread of life. Something about drinking that new wine. Something about drinking that cup. There was something about the grape being destroyed. There's something about remembering that Jesus Christ gave His life up for us. It's so important to know as we bring this out to you. We're all one body, right? For a body to get up, it requires certain other parts of the body to propel it into motion, to get us moving, which means that in certain moments, certain parts of the body have better purposes than others. But then there's other moments, like where you lift with your legs instead of your arms, where other parts of the body come in, or the most important part, the reason that we're able to stand, is you have that backbone that holds you up. Just one shift in that spine. One shift, and people, we have so many people that, how important is it tonight for us to hear, to hear the Word of God, to be as one body. So, the conclusion is this, church. It's not one that we're going to forget. There's nowhere else that we need to look but inside ourselves to realize, if I want to contribute to the coming together of the body of Christ, then all I've got to do is get that Spirit of God in me and come alive. Because if you're faithful to people and expect people to move, you're going to be let down. You will. Because people are going through tough times. They're going to be hurting. They're going to be in trouble. They're going to need encouragement. They're going to need you to pick them up. They're going to need you to help them. And in those times, we must come alive. We must rise to the occasion. The Word of God puts it like this: to be in season. To be prepared in season, out of season. No matter when it's raining outside. The most appropriate time we would consider to be preaching would probably be in the summertime. But what about when it's cold outside? Do we not move nonetheless? I know that there's nothing more that anybody probably dreads than to get up and try to preach at a cold church service. But how many of us know if you get before God, before you ever get to your service, that you'd be able to preach the house down with not a shout, not a hand in the air, not one amen. You'll be able to do what God has called you to do. Because there's a revelation about bringing your body under subjection. And then as you come into the bigger body, that you come alive. And as you come alive, and that begins to have movement, then it begins to have purpose. As the body of Christ begins to operate in that, listen, you can but begin to move to let God take something that's moving in you for purpose. Seek God for what it's for. Seek God for what it's for. If you've got a word that's burning in your heart and you're like, Lord, I'm not sure if I need to get up and preach it or teach it or what I need to do with it, seek God for what the purpose is. Seek God for where it needs to go or what church you need to go preach it to. Seek God for what you need to do. Seek God for those places where you can go in and be that person to come alive and bring them up to help them to come alive. There's so many places that are living in deception. They're going through church but not having spiritual. I'm talking spiritual fulfillment. They go because they know they should. And they're not getting anything. And the first thing that happens in life, they're gone. They're plucked up, they're plucked out, they're destroyed, or it hinders somebody else. And I'm trying to break the mold in my life and be a separate people. And I couldn't tell you how many times that I've came up to this plateau and said, God, I don't know if I can. It's so hard, God, just to break down ourselves. You want to talk about just breaking down yourself maybe once or twice a week. Get yourself broke down every day of the week. It's harder to do it every day than you think it would be to wait a month at a time. Because there's something about the pride of man. Hear this tonight. There's something about the pride of us that we get too proud. And that was the same part of him that rose up that was going to go in and offer his own burnt incense. And even after he was told, he did it anyway. And I thought, Lord, how many times have you told us not to do something, but yet we went on? I want to drink of the cup of salvation every day. And I want to participate in things that fulfill. You know, and this is a silly example, but don't get me wrong. I love singing How Great Is Our God. I've sang it so much. But you know, you can get burnt out on something after a while, right? So there's got to be a part of you that digs into a song by the presence of God that stirs you. Now, I know the prayer that a lot of us often pray, you know, the things that we know that we're calling out for all the time. But there's something about getting in to the presence of God and letting that prayer be just stirred up inside your heart. There's something about the Word of God. There's something about just preaching. And I've heard it so often, but I'm understanding now what the preaching under the anointing is. It's taking something that you've known or just come to know and letting God put His glory all over it. And I know my singers will bear witness to this, that you couldn't find a song in that book even if you had 3 million songs. You could have access to the internet and could not find a song. I've been there. And it was God beginning to show me that, buddy, you're not just going to go pick you a song. It's what's in the heart. You could go and pick a song that you hardly know. You could. There's been women that I grew up hearing, and I miss hearing this, would get up and just sing a verse of one. No music. You wouldn't even know what key they were in. They just start one. But it was just on their heart. And the Spirit of God would just fall all over that. Hallelujah. And there would be nothing in the world that would hinder it. Nothing. It was just such a blessing. So we just got to adhere to that part of us. When we hear God stirring our heart, just to heed to it. Just to give God a more sincere offering. Because listen, it's easy to come in and give God what we'll call the Cain offering. We give Him what we think's best. But what we think's best won't cut it. What you offer God every day, in your good afternoons, in your overall composure of what you bring to others, and how you offer yourself. Listen, it says to present yourself a living sacrifice. And I do realize that that applies in so many ways to when we're in church. And 90% of the time you hear it preached about being obedient in church. But let's go against the grain just for a second and say that there's something that I'm supposed to present to you that's living, that's alive, that's in love. And you read the next chapter of Corinthians, and it talks about the gifts, and it talks about the body. What's the next part he talks about? He said you can have all the gifts. You can have everything. But without the charity in your heart, that it profit you. It doesn't gain anything. And that's not to say it gains you something that you put in your hand. You're not going to build up treasures in heaven just knowing the gifts of God. It's when we come through in those faithful times and obey Him that we build those things up for ourselves. It's when we offer ourselves unto others. And you would think, Lord, even unto death. There were some that offered themselves in the Scripture, even unto death. And yet, when we get a harsh look or harsh word, buddy, see, if I give you anything living other than a hard look, cold shoulder, and the dust of the back of my car peeling out from your driveway. And I mean, we, you know, it's been joked about or it's been talked about or I've heard it all the days of my life. We didn't always have so many churches here. And if you really got down to the history of most of how they were established, it was because there wasn't enough love to hold one church together. The body would literally cut itself in half, split up. And God did not build it for it to be divided. He didn't create us to live in division. The only presence that creates division is the presence of the devil. And we've got to learn to recognize that when it comes in. It'll come in a subtle voice. It'll come in one sentence. It doesn't matter who it comes through. It comes in many ways. It'll just roll off the tongue of somebody and you'll just think, did that just happen? And there's your test. There's your moment to present something living, to present light unto darkness, to present something that's going to raise them up from where they are. Is there anybody alive around here? Lord, is there anyone left that you can confide in this life? Is there a true witness of the living God still here? There is plenty of people that say they know God. But the truth is, as we read in His Word, there's going to be a lot of people that say, Lord, Lord, and not enter in. It is my honest belief that we have more in the church. Come on now. We have more in our churches that need help sometimes. And oftentimes we're looking for people that are going to be coming in the doors. But listen, we've got so many people, even under our radar sometimes, that really need a strong word. Really need God to do a work. There's a time and a place for all things. There's going to be a time and a place for all of our lives. And we're going to stand in a place where we need that word of God. And I was there just a little while back. And Brother Mike stood and he gave such a strong word to me. And I thought, Lord God, what a word that you sent. And as I've been praying, I've just been thanking God for what he preached. I've been thanking God for every word of it. It's so hard to stand like that. It's so hard to be bold like that. It's so hard just to give it out and just call it like it is. And it was an encouragement to me. And it reminded me to let me know that, hey, buddy, you've got to get yourself in check continually. There's too much idle time going on. Too much idle time even during in-service time. If there's time that you're in wandering, it's time that God wants. Especially in His temple, His establishment, His place of worship. This is where you dedicate time for the glory of God to come down. This is not a place to battle for God's glory. His glory will come down when He sees an offering from a people that is sincere and that is partaking in what He sent down for us to partake of. If I can just throw off my crown and get to the cross, realize what He is in my life, realize what He's doing, then there won't be anything to hinder. Won't be anything to leave me in wondering anything. You know how you know? It's when you get it in your heart and faith. I can pray and pray and pray. But when you believe, when you rise, when you worship, when you offer, when you give God what is God's, and let the glory shine in your life, it'll become something, not just a feeling or an every now and then experience. It'll be something that you enjoy. That wine that they partook of represented joy, because as they partook of it then, it represented them being happy. So what does that mean? When we partake of Jesus Christ, it's supposed to bring joy. Joy. It's supposed to be something that brings you into joy. God is wanting us just to simply begin just to come alive. So if you're already stepping out, God bless you for stepping out. But if you've been kind of fearful or waiting, don't wait. Don't wait for nobody. It's your life, your blessing, the glory of God coming down to you. It's your time to step out and do what God is wanting you to do. Listen, it's not about anybody other than God. Because it says our righteousness, or is our rightness, is as filthy rags. So even when we think and know to do the best that we can, it is still not good enough. Still not good enough. So I just encourage you tonight. I pray that God fulfill this word in your heart tonight. And I pray that the boldness of the Holy Ghost just rise up in you, and that as you see in your life, things begin to come alive, that you just come out of that that's trying to hold you down. That's the word of God. As I was praying earlier, I just heard that in my spirit. Just come out. I heard that in my heart, and I thought, Lord, come out. And I thought, I know, God, what you mean now. Come out from the world. Come out from what's holding you down. Don't be bound.